Hello and good evening. This is Carol Conley, the Christian Civic League of Maine, and we're here tonight with former Governor Paul LePage. Good evening, Governor. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, good evening, Carol, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Tonight, our discussion is going to center around the two bills that you've heard a lot about with tax-funded abortions and physician-assisted suicide. And we'd like you to have the opportunity to talk to Governor LePage. So during this call, if you want to ask him any question, hit dial number three, hit dial asterisk or star three, and the governor will answer your question. And so we want to make sure that you know that as we're going through this call. I want everybody to know that when it comes to these life issues, physician-assisted suicide and tax-funded abortion, or just the life issue in general, that the 8 years that I got to work with Governor Paul LePage, this was not political expediency. This was something that we could always count on him. So when I asked if he'd help us out tonight, he did not hesitate for a minute. So Governor, again, before you weigh in on these, I just want to remind folks that hit dial star three if you want to ask the governor question. But Governor, just give us a little bit about your personal thoughts about these bills and the life issue.
Well, my views on it, and the 8 years I was governor, I focused more on the fiscal condition of the state. And these social issues, I believe, are issues of conscience, and I believe they're better served with spiritual guidance and doctors and patients and not a governor. And that's why I am very upset that the government chose to get involved in something that is really private and personal.
Well, Governor LePage, you were an incredible backstop these are not new assaults to the life issue and some other issues that we've seen that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But if you're just tuning in, this is Carol Conley from the Christian Civic League and our very great ally, Governor Paul LePage, and we're discussing our effort, Maine being one of 23 states that allows that citizens to repeal decisions they don't agree with their legislature. As we said, this past spring, two of the most heinous bills that we dealt with on the social issues were tax-funded abortions being put upon our citizens for the first time and physician-assisted suicide. So if you would like to ask Governor LePage a question, we want to make sure that you hit star three to enter the queue, and our staff are going to make sure that you have that opportunity. So again, these bills they've been passed for the first time long before your 8 years. These are attempted, but you've had experience with these bills in the legislature.
That's right. We had experience. Many times we were able to, and particularly in the first term, we had the majority in both houses, so we could control what went to committee, and we were able to dispose of them very early in the process. In the second term, it was not quite as, not the same, and I had to veto a lot of these measures
and
similar measures.
And I would say on the life issue, this one in particular with tax-funded abortion, that wasn't attempted. It hasn't been attempted for, I believe, like 11 or 10 years when they had a Democratic legislator controlled by, you know, with a Democratic governor. So this is really the first time that we've seen that extreme bill come up a long time. Physician suicide, we could count on it like every couple years.
Yeah.
But again, I don't believe during your administration that we ever tried to execute a people's veto, though. It's been a while since kind of the conservative side has done that.
That's correct.
And for those of you that may not know, we have to come up with 63,000 signatures for each of these bills to be able to give the people of Maine a chance to weigh in and say, no, we don't want tax-funded abortions, or no, we don't want physician-assisted suicide. So that is what we're doing right now. The Christian Civic League is part of a great coalition with Maine Right to Life, with the diocese, and on the physician-assisted suicide. Many people in the medical community and also folks in the disabilities community and the elderly, trying to protect the elderly, understand what's at stake here. So we need to get probably around 75,000 signatures to make sure we secure those 63 signatures by September 18th. So again, if you're just joining this call, my name is Carol Conley. I'm the director of the Christian Civic League. We got Governor LePage here, And if you'd like to ask Governor LePage a question, you can hit *3, and he would like to, talk to the citizens. Governor, you've been out of the chair now for a couple of years, and I imagine it's been kind of difficult for you these.
Well, it's been 8 months.
It seems like 2 years, Governor.
It seems like 2 years with the state of the state, but it's been 8 months.
It has been a long time. But I imagine, seriously, it must be hard for you to watch what's happening in this short
period. It's been very, very difficult to watch the what we've done in the state. We lowered the taxes. We fixed our fiscal mess that I inherited back in 2011. We built a rainy day fund, and we had a real good cash surplus, and now that's all gone. And so next year, folks, what I'm hearing is going to be a request of $300 million come January, and there is no more money in the pot, so the taxes will go up.
Well, Governor, again, if you're just tuning in, I want folks to know that we're very fortunate to have Governor Paul LePage here with us on this call, who has been just a tremendous ally on issues that really matter to people that are on this call right now. And if you want to ask the governor a question, please hit dial *3. And we've got our first question right now, and that is going to come from Nancy from Brownville. So, Nancy, you got a question for the governor.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. I want to know how can the Republicans get information out to the public that are more effective than what's out there? There's a lot of disinformation from abortion clinics and such, but apparently they don't realize that an abortion is actually killing an American citizen. So I think the discussion needs to be included not only with the doctor and the mother, but also with the father whose child that is, and the unborn child. Because
It goes even further. Even the parents can be left out of the equation.
Yeah, and that's why there's a number of bills that we've been concerned about. You know, this was a target-rich environment, certainly. The other things that we could have gone against, because the lack of respect or understanding of parental rights and religious freedom certainly are under attack. And I just would encourage anybody regarding information, go to the Christian Civic League's website, cclmaine.org. And all these issues, we have a wealth of information that not only on the signature gathering in this process, but these issues that matter to us. We've got another question coming in. No, excuse me. I just want to encourage you, if you want to ask a question, go to *3 and you'll be put in queue. So go to *3. And now we've got a question from Dale from Exeter. Dale, what's your question for the governor? Dale, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, right. Go for it, Dale.
It sounds pretty stupid in Maine when a girl has at 16 can't buy a pack of cigarettes, but she can get an abortion without a parent's signature. But where are the places to sign up for that? Where are the petitions?
I'll help the governor with that. And again, if you you live in Exeter, so one thing I'd suggest is the Christian radio station in Bangor is WHCF. So during their hours of operation, which is from 8 to 3, you can go ahead and sign. But again, go to cclmaine.org, and you'll hit a blue button that says People's Veto Info.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yep. It's cclmaine,
okay.
That's Maine with an E, .org. And then you'll see a big blue button that says People's Vetoes Info. And there you will see information where you can sign and anything else, frankly, you need to know about this process, Dale.
That's ccl.org?
No.
CCL Maine.
CCL Maine,
Maine. Okay.
.org. So we're going to get that out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Governor, he brought up a really good point about kind of like the common sense of this that seems to be missing under the dome. When you have the example that he gave, where we've often said, a kid can go to school, can't get an aspirin, but can get an abortion.
Can get an abortion. Or you can send a young man at 18 years old to war, but he can't buy a pack of cigarettes. These are all infringements on freedom and the inability of young people to learn and to grow. And so it's really sad that they've taken this posture. We need to fight back. On the abortion issue, I will tell you, I am a firm believer that we should adopt and not abort.
Amen.
And that is my stand. And I think if a young person gets pregnant, first of all, the parent should be involved. And I find it, she's not an adult. And anyone that less than an adult, the parents have to have, they have the legal responsibility for these children, and they have to be involved in that decision.
And Paul, Governor LePage, I know you walk the talk here and talk the walk because you adopted yourself in your family. So he's just not putting that out there theoretically. Hey, we've got another caller. We got Roy calling in from Waldoboro. Roy, got a question for us?
Well, I think you answered it. It was the cclmaine.org to sign up to get signatures. I guess the other question I have, since you answered that one, would be, the governor went ahead and did a lot of stuff funding things that neglected, like nursing homes and all these other things. I don't think he was finished, and it kind of – I'm wondering why they think they have extra money to pay for abortions when we have lots of other things that we still need to do, whether it's the elderly or special needs. So I guess I'd like to know from the governor's perspective, why would they do that?
Well, it's a very good question, and my answer to that is elections have consequences. And in this past election, the Republican candidate, which I found to be a very solid gentleman, and he was a great candidate, but this is a blood sport. And the Democrats have learned to get the universities and get to a lot of areas, and they vote often. And they outworked us is what they did. And a lot of it falls on the shoulder of the Republicans, because during the election, all the leadership in the Republican Party, I was being termed out, and the president of the Senate, the majority leader of the Senate, the minority leader in the House, these are all Republican leaders, and they all ran for governor. And so once they got defeated in the primaries, very few got active in the general election because they, feelings were hurt. So the elections have consequences. And that's why I'm firmly looking into running again in 2022.
And that is music to a lot of the ears on this phone call right now. Well, Roy, thanks for that question. And if you're listening right now and you want to know what can we do, because just talking on a phone call or just complaining about something like this doesn't accomplish anything. We would ask that if you want to help us and this coalition turn back these two terrible pieces of legislation, press one. If you're able to help us out, if you want to volunteer, and we'll talk about some of the opportunities that are volunteer later, but if you're interested in volunteering as a circulator, in other words, getting petitions, if you're interested in helping us to maybe drive and move petitions from the town offices down to our offices in Augusta, and also if you're interested in helping us with data and getting these petitions ready to turn over to the Secretary of State, right now, would you please press one, and we'll be able to get your information and get to you and put you to work. So again, press number one right now if you want to know how you can help us. And we've got another question coming up. Peter in Vassalboro. What's your question, Peter?
Oh, I was wondering where to sign up.
You've come to the right place, Peter. So just
I hope that the governor runs again. Governor.
Well, I will tell you, my wife and I'll tell you a little story. My wife said that she would allow me the privilege of running again if I bought her a pickup truck, and I learned to like country western music.
Ooh,
so I'm halfway there. I bought her a pickup truck.
Well, Peter, thank you for calling in. And as we said, Peter, thank you for that reminder. First of all, if you got a question for Governor LePage here, hit star number 3. It's not very often that you actually get to talk to someone that especially served as well and as effectively as Governor LePage did. But if you are interested in helping us finish these out these last 3 weeks and giving us a chance to give the people of Maine a choice and a voice about tax-funded abortion and physician-assisted suicide, press one and you'll find about the opportunities to help us. Governor, we got another question. Laura has a question about the bill. So, Laura, Ask away.
Well, my question has to do with the current, you know, the current issue on the ballot, or hopefully on the ballot. I was thinking that it was elective abortions only, and that we already have been paying for rape, incest, life of the mother. And the context of this is that one day when I was collecting signatures, a person who had been at the State House had overheard Janet Mills, I don't know the context, a few years ago maybe, saying that, you know, Maine people are already paying for those particular kinds of abortions and they don't know it. So just wondering if you could clear that up.
Well, I'll tell you, while I was the governor, there were some questions on whether or not abortions were being performed, and we did a complete audit of the Planned Parenthood folks, and we found that there was some cheating, and we
big hefty fine, as a matter of fact, big hefty, over $100,000.
That's right. We fined them, and then we continued to stay on top of them, and they stopped. This effort here is to do away with the Hyde Amendment. This is really bad stuff. First of all, it's not bad enough that Medicaid is going to pay for abortions. But what it's saying is you, the Maine citizens, with your tax dollars are going to fund it, and you have no say in it.
And there are two parts of this, Laura. That's a great question. Since 1976, when the Hyde Amendment was put forward, it was, I know a lot of people don't like this word, but it was really a master compromise between the pro-abortion and the pro-life people that said no federal dollars will ever be used unless you have the exception of the life of the mother, rape, and incest.
Correct.
And for me, I always felt like it was like kind of doing negotiation with a terrorist that had an airplane on the tarmac. There were 300 people on that plane. And if we could get the women and the children off first, then we'll go back and negotiate for the others. And that's now everything's in play. So if this bill, if we're not able to overturn this, now the taxpayers of Maine will be forced to pay for abortion on demand. And as the governor also mentioned, businesses will be forced. There will be no choice but to have their businesses pay for that unless they're directly involved with a church.
That is absolutely correct. And the thing that really is the most upsetting to me is I understand rape, incest, and the health of the mother. I am all in for that. But you know, using abortion as a form of contraception is just disheartening.
And for many of us, that's where we said we're going to draw the line.
That's exactly right.
This effort is a huge effort. It's an expensive effort. It's going to take a tremendous, and you just don't lightly, you know, go into something like this. And when we heard that this bill was being floated about in December, I've never heard so much noise from the pro-life community, and this because of the fact that this was a long-standing agreement, frankly, between the pro-abortion and the pro-life folks. We do have another question. Again, if you've got a question for Governor Paula Page, hit *3. Dr. Jerry Collins, what is your question?
How are you, doctor?
Governor, my question is based on your extensive political experience. We've had a good run so far, from what I can see. There's a lot of enthusiasm and so on, but how do we get the message to the people? There are a lot of people who have not yet connected with this message. I have found that once they understand what it's all about, once they have a little bit of education, they're right on board. Do you have any thoughts as an experienced person, how in elections and so on, how we might expand our reach?
Well, coming from the mayorship or the mayor's office of Waterville to the governorship, it was all about grassroots. You have to have foot soldiers. And so many people said he was an overnight success. Well, I spent 8 years as the mayor of Waterville, and we turned that city around, and I was working for a company with 1,000 employees around the state. So I had some pretty strong foot soldiers the day I started. And it's all about foot soldiers. We have to get the word out to your neighbor, to your children, to your relatives, to just your colleagues at work. It's the only way we get this going. And as we get the signatures, once the signatures are collected and once we get on the ballot, then it's all our jobs to get people to the polls and to defeat these two petitions.
We're never going to have the media with us, or at least not in our generation, not the, especially the print media. And I totally agree with the governor, for what it's worth, that it is going to be neighbor to neighbor. It's going to be family to family. That is what it's take. And again, Governor LePage's campaign proved that that was possible back in 2010, 2011. So that's a great question. And again, that takes more than us just, sitting home and watching Fox TV and being angry. Yeah. It takes work.
This campaign really starts the day that the Secretary of State certifies that there's 63,000 names and it's going to be on the ballot. And that's when the real campaign starts. And that's when you're going to see me very active on this. And my Facebook, we're going to be publishing information. We believe so strongly that we cannot go down the road of killing more kids and more babies. I believe Maine, we need a population growth. And here we are allowing people to be.
Exactly right. We're the oldest. We're the oldest state in the nation.
In the nation.
And we're killing babies in the womb. We've got Renee with a question for you, Governor.
Hi, Governor. My question is, it seems like today so many people are turning to and embracing a culture of death in our society. And I would like you to speak to the disconnect that I see happening and get your thoughts on it, of how people can push for and vehemently just cry out for gun control, saying that guns kill babies, and at the same time push for legislation to kill babies in the womb even up to 9 months and beyond, and also push for taxpayers to pay for this. Could you speak to that, please?
I will tell you, what I see happening in our culture is the demise of the family unit. And this movement of the millennial population wanting government to become everything for everyone. I really believe that we need to strengthen our spiritual guidance, and we need to really work hard at getting our families together. One parent family creates a lot of concern, and a lot of things go unspoken, undone, and there's a reason why you have a mother and a father. They both have an equal partnership in growing children and bringing up children. And when you have a void, that shows up at later in life. And it's so unfortunate that our family units are broken. And I believe that until we start that building our family units again, taking the path of, looking at spiritual guidance, being just basic honest with each other, it's going to continue down this path.
Great question, Renee. I just would remind folks that you have the opportunity to hit *3 and ask Governor LePage any question that you want to ask him. We also want you to know that we're in the middle of a question right now, or the ability for you to sign up and to help us out in the coalition, to give us the opportunity to finish strong with this campaign to overturn these two horrible bills, tax-funded abortion, physician-assisted suicide. Just press 1 on your phone, and you'll be connected with someone that can tell you how you can help us out, because every signature counts. Every volunteer matters. This is, just like the governor said, we're going to be outspent, and we don't have the media on our side. We need everybody that is a pro-life Mainer to do the work and influence other people to sign up. But we've got another question, Governor, from Valerie.
Yeah. Yes. I am looking at the younger generation today, whether it be young or old, babies or anyone over 75 years old. There's no responsibility. They don't want any responsibility whatsoever. They just want to give you a pill. They don't want to really have a family. There's adoption that they wait for babies. And I would think there'd be more active people within this community. Our state of Maine is one of the largest that are having abortions and killing and allowing assisted suicide for our elderly than there is in any other state.
Well, I will say, Valerie, I'm not sure that that's accurate, totally accurate, that we're the worst, because up until January last year, Maine's abortions had dropped significantly.
The last 6 years. I've
yeah, last right. 6 years. Mm-hmm. But what I will say, and I do agree with you, is there is seems to be in our culture, particularly in the millennials from 18 to 34 years old, they seem to be falling towards looking towards the government. I saw a poll this morning where 58% of people between the ages of 18 and 34 are looking for socialism as a form of government. Now, when I say 18, there's a bright spot. On the age of 16 to 18, they're more conservative. So I don't know if the younger kids, are seeing the mistakes of their older siblings or their moms and dads, and they're starting to see that conservatism is not a bad thing. So I think you're right. I think there's certainly a shift, and I think 2020 is going to show us a lot. And not only are these two bills important, but the 2020 election is going to be an election between capitalism and socialism, and which one we prefer in this nation.
Governor, we've got a bunch of other questions, but we want to run another opportunity for people to interact with us right now. When we started this process, I said we didn't do it lightly, and this is still an expensive campaign. You know, compared to other campaigns, not as much, but for us, our budget's about $120,000 with our tremendous field staff that we have and the communications that we do on social media and things like that, and even, you know, legal costs and printing costs. I think our printing costs alone are going to be around $20,000 just to get the petitions out there. You know what it takes to run a campaign. We want to encourage people while they're on right now, if they would be willing to help and help us to have a follow-up so that they can contribute financially to this. And again, nobody's getting rich out of this, believe me. But if you're able to help us, press one, and a member of our team will follow up with you to tell you how you can help us financially.
Financially, you know, it takes so much. I will go back to 2010, and when I decided to run for governor, there were four people in the room. My wife was one of them, and we talked about what do we do. We're going to have to run against six other candidates, and we had candidates. One candidate spent $2.5 million. One candidate spent $1.75 million. We spent $180,000, and we won by 21 points. But why we did is we also had 5,500 volunteers going door to door and helping us get my message out. We had a postal letter made up, and we delivered like 35,000 of them to Republicans' homes before the primaries, and that really made the difference. So it takes people, it takes money, and it takes enthusiasm to win an election.
And we're hoping you tonight will recognize that this is something that can be accomplished, but it's not going to be accomplished. Matter of fact, Governor, what was your expression, the motto, if it's going to be, it's got to be me?
Yeah,
right?
If it is to be, it's up to me.
Yep, and that's what it takes.
In fact, I'm wearing a bracelet now that says exactly that. If it is to be, it's up to me. And so, and the message there is I'm deadly against domestic violence. That's one of the issues that I fought my whole life for. And I believe that if it is to be, it's up to me. It's the only way you're going to stop it is by getting engaged and getting involved.
All right. This is Carol Conley from the Christian Civic League of Maine representing the coalition. We are trying to get the people's voice and the people's choice to be able to reverse tax-funded abortion and physician-assisted suicide. In order to do that, we must collect over 65,000 signatures for each of those. And so we're hoping that we're going to create some enthusiasm and inform those of you who are on here tonight, and we're so thankful to have Governor Paula Page with us, who, as we said at the beginning of this phone call, is a great ally, someone we could certainly depend on and still can depend on in this battle. If you want to ask Governor Page a question, hit *3, and if you want to help us financially with everything that's involved in order to succeed and have the resources we need, hit *1. And just actually one, I guess. We have a question from Allie in Searsport. Allie.
Hello.
There you
go.
I'm on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Hey, Governor LePage.
Listen, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a widow. have five children of our own, and I'm on my 20th foster child.
Wow.
She'll
wow.
be arriving soon. Yeah, I know. Isn't that awesome? My question, we're a military family, too, and a Christian family. So, you know, this is just part of our life. You know, we just take in kids and whatever. But my question is, we go up to the brick church in Bangor, my girlfriend and I, and we bring things up. Now, I'm retired and a widow. We bring things up to them for the homeless, for the veterans. We bring up food and all kinds of stuff. Why isn't Janet Mills helping the homeless and the veterans? Instead, she's helping the illegals. I mean, it blows my mind that the illegals are getting more than our veterans.
You're absolutely right. You know, one thing we did every year is we opened the Blaine House for 2 days, or for 3 days, actually. I think one year we were forced to do 2 days, but we have a food collection, and it was all about us giving back. And that was the governor and his family doing that. But we gave more money to nursing homes. This year alone, six nursing homes have closed since January, but we're funneling the money that could have kept them open to Portland. It's unsavory. It's unbelievable that she would be that way. Now, I will tell you this, and this might sound cruel, but I was a businessman my whole entire career, so I worked with people every day. She was a prosecutor her whole career, and it seems to me that she's looking at Mainers as criminals.
And I can tell you that having been in for 8 years, working closely with the government, everybody has to make decisions on based upon priorities. There's resources. We have to make those decisions as moms and dads. We have to make those decisions as business owners. And I have to say, I mean, even these bills that we're talking about here or these other issues, it really makes you wonder what people's priorities are in regard to people who have given so much. I mean, many of them, the ultimate sacrifice or sacrifice their bodies in the military and in other areas like that are some of our most vulnerable citizens. There seems to be a very questionable and vulnerable issue regarding priorities. So thank you for your question, Allie. I guess we'd have to say St. Allie, someone that's taken over 20 foster kids.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Terrific for you.
All right. Coming from Portland, we got Ryan with a question for you, Governor.
Hi, Governor.
Go ahead, Ryan.
How are you?
I just wanted to say, good. How are you?
Oh, wonderful.
So I just wanted to say that we don't have access without LD 820 to medically necessary abortions. I was at the public hearing and I heard these women speaking and they don't have coverage. What would you do? What would you say about these women? Do you want them to die?
No. We're supporting, I would support the health of a mother. I would support incest and rape, but I do not support abortion as a form of contraception.
And that really is a red herring because we have, again, since 1976, when the Hyde Amendment was established, the health of the mother, the life of the mother has always been a priority. And like I said, for those of us that are in the life community, the pro-life community that have grave convictions themselves about the life issue, when we're talking about public policy, that has never been on the table.
Never, ever, ever. And I'll tell you, I don't know where you're hearing that a doctor will not perform an abortion to keep a mother, to keep the health of a mother. That has never been, that's always been part of DHHS, that you can, anybody that has DHHS, that was qualified.
And again, I'm thankful for that question because that really shows you how far the other side is going to be with disinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, frankly, think about people who think that it's okay to kill a baby, just before it's born or now even after it's born, as we saw in New York and some other places this year, to think that they'd be disingenuous or dishonest is not a stretch either, certainly in this type of conversation. We have Robert in Jefferson. Robert, you got a question for Governor LePage.
I had a couple of comments. They mentioned about the fact that we've had so much the socialist tendency after a certain extent in our schooling with the college kids, and that's partly because there's so many liberals that are socialistic or communist in the background. There's also a bunch that are Islamic that are teaching as well.
Well, Governor, I'm sure you'd agree, Governor, that one of the issues that we have is, I mean, I'm a child of the 70s, you know,
yeah.
going to school in little rural Brownsville Junction in the 1960s and 70s. The experience, and when you, I know one of the problems you felt that you dealt with was the strong and often impenetrable issues we have with the teachers' union and the philosophy, especially nationally.
That's right.
It drives that.
The three major areas of our society that are really hurting this country and the prosperity of this country is Hollywood, the media, and our schools. And it's not just the universities. The toughest and strongest union in America is the teachers' union. And, you know, it's funny that you brought that up because in 2016, there were four bills for teachers. And I read all four bills, and the word student was never mentioned in all four bills. It was all about pensions, better retirement systems, health care, everything for teachers, nothing for students.
And the National Education Association is all in with Planned Parenthood, absolutely all in,
all
because
in.
They're giving millions of dollars, and it's a very incestuous relationship there. And that's not to say all teachers are part of the NEA that are for these things, but certainly it is prevalent, especially on the national level. There was some relief, though. I mean, we had a great Supreme Court decision with the Janus
right.
Court that allows teachers now to say they don't want to participate in the
union. Exactly. This fair share situation, we got rid of it before the Supreme Court, you know, made their handed out their decision. But right now, teachers are not required to join unions, and more are dropping out. So maybe there's something to be said for the future. Maybe these young kids that I said earlier, the 16-year-olds are starting to become more conservative. Maybe they're getting into the right schools.
I do have some good news before we take a question from Raymond. People don't realize this, but the fastest growing pro-life demographic in the United States of America is under the age of 30. So I think that there are some other issues that we're not doing so great with youth, but this is one of the issues that I think, because a lot of those folks are seeing their cousins and their brothers and sisters on the refrigerator and the ultrasounds, you know, maybe it wasn't our great arguments as much as them seeing, hey, that's a human being there.
That's a human being. Exactly.
Raymond, do you have a question for us? Raymond in Lincoln.
Wait,
Raymond, are you there? There you go.
Yes, I'm right here.
What's your question, Raymond?
Yes. For Governor LePage, I know how the legislative process works. Somebody sponsors a bill, and a legislator takes it and draws it up, and then it goes through the process, you know.
Well, usually they're supposed to draw it up, but most of the time it's the lobbyist.
Oh, really? Well, I had one drawn up by a...
Legislators have gotten very lazy in recent years.
Yeah, okay. But I'm talking back in 2002 when I was really involved
okay.
in the Republican Party.
Hey, Governor, you're sitting next to one of those lobbyists. Be careful. Well, Raymond, thank you for calling in. We do want folks to know that if you hit *3, you can ask Governor Paul LePage any question. Of course, we are trying to focus on our effort to overturn tax-funded abortion and assisted suicide. And I think you're going to recognize this name, Governor. Doug Thomas has a question for you.
Hey, Doug, how are you?
Good. How are you, Governor?
Oh, by the way, Doug Thomas did write his own bill.
Governor, I want to know what you think we need to do to get people who agree with us to turn out in higher numbers at the polls.
Well, the only thing I can say is that elections have consequences, and we had a great candidate running for governor, and he could have continued on the path we were going, but it's been in reverse, and that's because 50,000 people, moderate Republicans, did not show up to vote for the Republicans. And so that's what we need to do. If elections have consequences, and folks, I can tell you, You need to participate if you want a certain lifestyle.
Doug, thanks for calling in. I hope you didn't call collect from Ripley, I hope. But
well,
go ahead, Doug.
No, I we have unlimited phone service, and we have good phone service. And it was so good to hear the governor's voice. And Governor, I'm going to be calling you in the next few days about something we talked about a couple weeks ago, okay?
All right, great. Look forward to it.
Former Senator Doug Thomas from up there. And let's see, is Ripley in Piscataquis or Penobscot? I'm not sure. Is it Somerset? Wow, I was way off on that. I should have known that. Governor, I want to talk about something because we've had a little bit, as we talked about these two bills, probably like 95 to 100% in the churches especially. People have been signing 820, which is the tax-funded abortion bill. But some folks have said, you're not very compassionate. You're not worried about the people that are, you know, maybe going to have a difficult death and so on. And for me, I have a religious default. I have my bias about that. I was raised that, you know, God is the Lord of life and let God make that decision. But we can't make those arguments necessarily in a public policy debate. And this was something we could always count on you. I just wanted to address a little bit about your thoughts about especially Maine and not really, this is not a good idea for the state of Maine.
This is not a good idea for Maine in my mind because Maine is an independent people. You know, it has a, you know, we call it the Down East Yankees. We're very independent. I strongly believe that if the assisted suicide, it should be between the physician, the person, and the spiritual leader of whoever provides spiritual
support and counseling.
The support and counseling for the patient or the person who's ill. I just could never sign a bill that would allow somebody else to interfere. Doctors know what to do. And my mother-in-law, she suffered dearly for many, many years. But I'll tell you, the one thing she didn't want to do is leave. And she left kicking and screaming. And I remember that the day before she passed, she was in a hospital in hospice, and we connected a television to her room so she could watch my daughter being married. And that after that wedding, the next morning she says, now my life's complete. I wanted to see her get married and now he can take me. And there's a lot to be said about that.
And that's one thing that Governor LePage always understood, that people hate to hear this argument that it's a slippery slope, but there is just no historical example in a state or country that has made this decision that has not gone to the next step where another person was involved in that decision other than that patient. And case in point, just this last spring in Oregon, this April, there was an attempt to, in the United States of America, not just to have physician-assisted suicide, but to have someone other than that patient make that decision. And there's some, that is called euthanasia, no matter how you call it.
Absolutely.
And that puts so many people in vulnerable, especially vulnerable people like our elderly and the disabled community, and especially in a state that is unfortunately has an epidemic of suicide right now. We don't want to normalize that.
That's correct. We have an abundance of them now. We don't need any more. And I'll tell you another thing, this slippery slope. Once you go this path, down this path, the next thing is when you have socialized medicine,
right.
Now you have people who are going to sit and pass judgment on who gets surgery, who doesn't get surgery, who gets chemo, who doesn't get chemo. That's wrong.
Well, we brought in, in your last term, we brought in that young mom of four from California who had been the 2 days after California passed physician-assisted suicide, got a phone call from an insurance company, said, we're no longer doing your chemo treatments, but we will pay for your pills.
We'll pay for the pills, but yes, exactly right. And
well,
that's the next step.
It is. So we have Governor LePage here with us. They're talking about these important issues, physician-assisted suicide, and also our attempt to reverse tax-funded abortion. If you want to ask Governor LePage a question, hit *3. And we have Elaine Bridge that wants to ask you a question. I think you know this lady, too.
I know this lady very well. How are you, Elaine?
Pretty good. How are you, Governor?
Great. Terrific.
But come on back. We'll vote for you. No,
all
I'm
right.
Wondering when we get all our signatures and we're there, you know, they're official, and it goes out, when are we going to vote? It seems to me that a Democrat primary would not be a very honest vote and not very fair at all.
I tend to agree with you, and the Secretary of State, who happens to be on the other side of the fence, and they have a lot of Democrats running in the primary, it's certainly unfair. And I would challenge and hope that they could set that election at another time.
And I agree with Elaine. When we started this process, we wouldn't have chosen March for sure. We wouldn't have chosen the Democratic presidential primary. That's a challenge, though, for us. And as the governor said, no matter what challenge is for us, it's going to take us, if we succeed in taking on that challenge and doing everything we can possibly do to get out and vote, because it still is going to be up to us. It's still regardless of what the challenge is in front of us. If you want to ask Governor LePage a question, hit *3. Linda in Winthrop. Linda, what's your question for Governor LePage?
Question is, I am so glad to get this phone call today. It's just lifted my spirits. I'm so glad you're thinking about running, and I will do everything I can to help you get that nomination.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I did want you to know, however, that I do work with a lot of Democrats, and what I am hearing from most of these people is they're very concerned about where the money's going and how all the rainy day money's gone. People are concerned.
They have a right to be concerned, and I will tell you, come January, they're going to see what happens when the rainy day fund disappears, because she needs another $300 million to pay for the things that she's paid. You know, you got to remember, she hasn't even paid for her inauguration party yet, and so she needs to find some money.
Linda, thank you for calling, and we hope a lot of you are encouraged the fact that our good friend Governor Paul LePage is once again stepping up and helping us, those that care about the sanctity of human life from conception until its natural end, and our attempts to do this through this, you know, frankly, we're thankful that Maine has the veto process where the citizens rise up and say, we do not agree with our legislature. I want to ask you that are listening in, would you please consider what you can do to help us? There are about three things that we're going to need this last 3 weeks to make this succeed. Number one, we need people to circulate. So we're asking you, please hit number one on your phone and saying, I'm willing to get a petition. And we don't care if you get 5 or 10 or 20. Every one of those signatures matter. Would you please hit one? The other thing that we need is we need folks that are able to take these petitions once they get signed to the town offices. Once those get verified, we need to bring those back to Augusta, to the Christian Civic League offices before we take those over to Matt Dunlap. We need drivers. So you might not be comfortable being a circulator, but you may be able to drive. And then the third thing we need is a huge task. And this one's a little different because it has to be done at our league office on 70 Sewell Street in Augusta. We need people that can do data input because we have to keep track of these petitions and the people that circulated. So if you could do one of those three things, would you hit number one and say, I want to be part of this pro-life army to get us over the finish line? Governor LePage, I know, because we had breakfast, was it back in March, I guess? Mm-hmm. I think it was Ash Wednesday, right?
It was.
That we had breakfast down in Florida. And I just speak a little bit to how difficult it's been for you, having been 8 years and literally so hands-on and so involved in things that matter to you so much, and to see these type of bills and other things. That just talk a little bit about what would bring you, how difficult it's been.
Well, it's just heart-wrenching to sit there every day and see the bills that we're going through. Fortunately, some very horrible bills got killed, but as you can see, some very horrible bills passed. The budget, I was so heartbroken to see that budget. My last year, I've been 8 years as a governor. The last year, we operated on a $7.2 billion budget. We saved $276 million, so we were operating on about a $6.9 billion budget. We built a rainy day fund, and then she came in and had an $8 billion budget. And the thing that was really disturbing to me and heartbreaking was that when I left, the Democrats reinstituted the wait list on people with mental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, physical disabilities, and the elderly. 3,200 people were still on a wait list. When it was at 4,600, I removed it. We completely paid for all those folks to get the services. The Democrats took that money and gave it to Portland. Then they turned around and instituted 3,200 people on a wait list. It's growing as we speak, and nursing homes are closing. It's time that we do something about it, and the conservative people of the state of Maine have got to rally up, and in 2022, whether it's me or somebody else, we truly need to defeat the Democrats. And they're not even Democrats. They're progressives. The Democrats in Augusta feel just as badly as I do. It's the progressives that have taken over, and unfortunately, they all come out of Portland.
And the governor's right. The life issue is not a partisan issue, and it has become a little bit more than it has in the past. But there, frankly, have been some great Democratic voices that stood up for this and other common sense issues as well. So we need everybody involved in this. And the governor's right. You know, this is really this is so important. At the same time, we're building infrastructure for 2020 so that we won't have to be dealing with this again, so that we can get people in the seats down there in Augusta. They're going to defend life and religious liberty and common sense. We're running out of time. We got Jessica that has another question for you, Governor. Jessica, are you there?
Hi, yeah.
Go ahead, Jessica. What's your question?
I really want to address what you said earlier. It was actually a lie. DHHS doesn't cover all forms of medically necessary abortions. We heard from these women at the public hearing, repealing LD 820 is a ban. It's just like the ban's taking place in Alabama, and that's the state we're headed in. It's not a...
I will tell you right now, I need to stop you right there. If it's medically necessary and the doctor signs in, they will get an abortion if it's the health of the mother is at risk. I'm sorry, that's the law.
And it is, and by the way, the public hearing
to
which he was referring is federal law, and when Planned Parenthood actually challenged the Hyde Amendment and some of these restrictions 3 years ago, the Supreme Court judge, the Maine Supreme Court judge, said that there was absolutely zero evidence that women were not gaining access to these medically necessary abortions. Now, regardless how you feel about that philosophically, that is a fact.
That's a fact. And if you're hearing that it's medically necessary for the health of the mother, and they're telling you that they can't get it, someone is lying to you, and someone is making that up. And I've had people call me, and believe me, I checked it out immediately, and every single time, we were right. It is the law.
Governor LePage, I want to encourage everybody that joined the call to go to cclmaine.org. That's Christian Civic League, cclmaine.org, or just Google it. And all the information about these issues and specifically about the processes that are involved in this hugely consuming task with gathering these signatures is at cclmaine.org. And Governor, we've got one other call coming in from Belgrade. Penny has a question for you. What's your question, Penny?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited about you being our governor again. And I got to tell you, being out to the Windsor Fair, the enthusiasm is electric. That said, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Okay. What I'm hearing with these three issues, people believe that people should have a choice on abortion and choice on the suicide, but then they shouldn't have a choice on the vaccine. I thought maybe you'd want to address that and or I understand that they've taken the money that was bonded for our roads and bridges and given it to DOE, and now they're going to bond again so we can give them some more money, and will they do that again? I didn't know if you wanted to address that issue. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Carol, for this call.
Right. Okay, Penny.
Well, Penny, I don't know what you say about the money for the DOE came from the DOT. That's illegal. They can't do that. What they can do, once they take the vote, it has to go to the ballot, and they can't change the use of that money. So I don't know what they did or why. There must be some confusion there. As far as the vaccination bill, I tell you, I find it just as important as the other two. What they're doing, that is really taking parents out of parenting. And that I find to be unconstitutional. They're saying, we don't care. We don't care what you think. We're going to vaccinate your child. And the vaccination, that bill is pretty explicit on other things, too, requiring certain immunizations that I don't think most people know about.
No flexibility, no exceptions.
No exceptions. And unfortunately, the Constitution of the state of Maine says that education will be taken on by the community, and there's be no exceptions, and they have to pay for it. So whether or not they choose to let the child go to school, they got to educate that child.
Governor LePage, thank you so much, seriously. And again, I just want our folks to know that it took about 1.5 seconds for him to answer the question asked if he would help us out driving up from Edgecombe and being here. So thank you so much. I know these folks are encouraged to hear your passion and that you still care about these issues. I want to thank everybody that joined us and those folks that responded to help out. Again, I'd say go to cclmaine.org and get involved and help us get this across the finish line by September 18th. Thank you and good night.
Good night, folks.
Good job.